Hello and welcome to Missing Mystic Falls, where we cast a critical eye over every single episode of the hit CW show, The Vampire Diaries. My name's Catherine and I'm joined with my co-host, Ellie.
Hello.
And su nombre es Alice, Alice is here.
Hello. Hello, hello.
Do we think that's one we need to explain?
Alice, can you explain it? Because it's hilarious.
So, you know, I don't know, if you learn a language in school and you try and learn French and you'd be like, bonjour, je m'appelle Alice. And then my friend in class would be like, bonjour, je m'appelle Jacob. And his name was Jacob. But he'd say Jacob because that's what Jacob is in French. And so we were going to Italy. And
no,
we were
going
to Spain.
My name is
Alice. It starts in Spain, didn't it?
Yeah.
But our friend did order a bunch of Aperols when we were in Italy for Alice.
We were going to Spain and I was teaching Alice some Spanish because I speak some broken Spanish and she knew apparently nothing. And I was telling her how to say my name is. And she went, me llamo Alice. And I was like, but your name's not Alice. And when you meet someone from another place, you don't pronounce their name the English way.
Yeah, literally, because, yeah, I can't explain it. It was just really like the weirdest thought process, but I don't know why I'm surprised, because it's coming from you, Alice.
It's so bizarre.
Because you're always like, you would always do an accent on someone, like say you met a Jacob and they introduced themselves, yeah, you wouldn't change it to Jacob in reverse.
No I know.
and sometimes Al does weird things and full stop, but we try and explain this to her, and this one I could generally tell you thought you were right for a good moment and I was like, you are definitely wrong here, Al. This isn't how names work.
There are a few things where you will still be adamant that this is the way things should be, despite all of us being like, this is weird.
We cannot go into the creme egg debate.
This is not right.
I was thinking oven.
Oven spelt with an O.
Anyway, today we are talking about season 2, episode 4, Memory Lane. The episode first aired on the 30th of September 2010. The episode was written by Caroline Dries and directed by Rob Hardy. This is the first episode that he directed, but he goes on to do one a season from here on out. Defen takes drastic measures to find out the real reason why Catherine has returned to Mystic Falls. Damon tries a new tactic to resolve his issues with Mason, and Tyler pushes Mason to tell him the truth about the Lockwoods.
There's a few good moments, and I always love a flashback, but I have to admit, this isn't my favourite episode either.
I thought this was a great episode. I thought it was really well written. I thought it had so many balls in the air, but did it really well. I thought it was... I really liked how it was directed. The episode was so symmetrical and well put together in my mind. Like, I loved that Lost Girls, we had Stefan's point of view of the days before he became a vampire. Then Children of the Damned, we had Damon's. And now we have Catherine's perspective. I thought it was great.
I did enjoy the things with Catherine. I think, and maybe it's having it, doing it on a rewatch, but I think rewatching the kind of other part of it and the kind of Damon Mason side, I didn't enjoy it as much as I expected to. Maybe I'd hyped it up in my head, but I found
Damon infuriating. Like, I agree, I thought it was a great episode, but like, Damon annoyed me to the nth degree. And it was like when you were doing the summary just now, Catherine, and being like, Damon tried a new method, and I was like, no he didn't, he went straight in with pure aggression. That's what he always does.
Please, there was some pictory on top of that.
that was good, I will give him that. Subtle as a Brit.
Yeah. The flashback episodes, like, yeah, they normally like mirror things that are going on in relationships. But I don't know, I liked how it mirrored the Lockwood's curse. I loved that you had like the parallel of Damon butting heads with George Lockwood, interspersed with him butting heads with Mace. I thought it was like a really like symmetrical episode, which isn't something the show normally does.
Oh, definitely not. I enjoyed more Catherine time. And I thought in the flashback, so it starts with what you think is a flashback, but it's actually Catherine manipulating Stefan's dream. Mm-hmm. But the purple dress that she is in, my God, she looks incredible.
I also really liked that first flashback where it does turn out that it's just, and then he wakes up and he's like, oh no, it's nothing, Elena, go back to sleep. And then realizes again, then it's Catherine. That's always a great. I love her little Elena moments.
And she's like, I'm getting better at this.
Mm-hmm. And we have in the dream the first like Elena Damon kiss, right?
Yeah.
Not like in real life because it's in the dream, but it's the first time those two characters have kissed on screen.
Yeah. That is.
Yeah. That's a good point. No. Well,
he kind of forced himself on her just before he killed Jeremy.
Did they kiss? I thought she pushed him off.
I think they kissed.
She did push him off.
Oh.
But I don't know what. No, but I don't know. I don't know how far. Like, I can't quite remember if they kissed or not.
Yeah.
Before she pushed him off.
Me neither.
This is the first consensual kiss, either way.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's
a dream. I do think, because I think Nina and Ian were dating at this time. Probably. I think they probably had started dating. So I do think a little bit, particularly in season two, they do look, because I think the fans really liked them together as a couple outside of the show. So I do think a little bit the writers do look for ways to make them kiss. And they normally do it through like hot and heavy Catherine and Damon like makeout scenes. But I do think a little bit it's like, oh, they're like, the fans will like this because they were dating in real life.
Yeah, like when they're playing, when they're doing pool and Damon like kisses her on the cheek. And I was like, oh, that's cute. Even though it's... Yeah. And so it's the whole thing is Catherine's messing with Stefan's mind to be like, it hurts, like, I love you. And that's basically what she's doing this whole episode, is being like, I love you, Stefan, and you love me too. Mm-hmm. While Stefan's also trying to be like, what are you doing here?
I think it's interesting. She is portrayed as like a villain, and she has been a villain. But when you get the kind of flashbacks from her perspective, they are quite tender, and you can see that, you know, they're not. One thing that I do like about the show is they're not trying to paint it black and white, like, oh, she's the evil one who came back and did this. They're actually showing, oh, there was a side of her. Stefan did actually love her, you know. It's not a love triangle, but they're painting it more as like a real, really like an emotional journey more.
Well, I really wanted your guys' opinion on this, and like, we can obviously give more background. It was just going to be like an overarching question of the whole episode. Like, there's bits in it where Catherine says that Stefan did fall in love with her, and he's being like, oh no, you compelled me. And then it's also like, do you think Stefan is in love with Catherine, or still does have feelings for her? And do you think Catherine loves Stefan?
So I don't think Stefan was in love with Catherine. I think he maybe thought he was when he didn't know she was a vampire, but if you don't know something major about a person, you don't truly, like, a big deal, you don't truly know them, and therefore you don't, if you don't know them, you can't really actually love them. You can only love who they were pretending to be. So he didn't love her.
Yeah.
I also don't think Catherine loves Stefan. I think it's the closest she ever came to, but she didn't. She just wanted to be the person who could fall in love. What I like about the character of Catherine is she has a lot of depth, and they show that depth without trying to make it like how I get annoyed at like Damon. They're making us feel bad for Damon. They give him depth and they expect us to think he's like therefore redeemable or right. The show does manage to give Catherine depth without making her be like the victim, or make us like be on her side, if that makes sense. So I think they do that very well.
I agree, and I definitely agree with you about Catherine. I think she wants to I always think she wants to love Stefan. Mm-hmm. I think innately she is out there for herself, and so there is only as far as her emotions will stretch. And I think the furthest they stretch is to Stefan, but yeah, I don't think it's love, or she wouldn't be doing the things she's doing.
No, and like I completely agree with everything both of you guys have just said, particularly with Stefan being compelled, because I was like, I think maybe he was falling in love with Catherine, or he did have feelings for her, and then he saw what she was and he was terrified. And I don't think you can genuinely truly love someone that you're afraid of, and the fact that she had to compel away fear, it's like that's not like, no.
And I also think, like, we are seeing Catherine's point of view, and I think it's really interesting, but it's still a biased point of view. Her saying she never compelled emotions into him doesn't mean it's, you know, getting rid of fear is an emotion in itself. So like, she is lying when she like gives us her perspective, and I like that she's kind of even lying to us as the audience. It's biased what she's telling us.
Yeah, it's the narrative she's telling Stefan. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely, but yeah, it is the same one she's telling the audience, which is interesting. Also, then she's up, so when you next see Catherine, she's chilling it in the Salvatore house, reading Stefan's journal, yada, yada, yada.
She's really made herself at home there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. But also, she knows about werewolves. Of course she does. Now everyone knows about them. Like, it was this whole big mystery. And obviously she's just like, yeah, I know what not to pet one.
I do think, like, maybe it's just Damon is so cocky and thinks he knows it all.
Yeah.
Because for a vampire, he's not been alive that long.
No, and yeah, I guess it's like you get Catherine's flashbacks, and there's like a Lockwood who is a werewolf at the time, and she knew straight away before she even settled in. I guess it is that thing where it's like they make it seem like Damon and Stefan are the only two vampires to exist, or like they are the only supernatural world. Sometimes that's what quite a lot of like how you feel with the show, and then they bring an outside perspective, and it is like, oh God, there is a lot more.
They don't know shit.
Yeah. I think that is, and it's a funny one, because I think, yeah, when you do just have, when you're in the Mystic Falls bubble, they do feel like the kind of omniscient, the all-knowing ones.
That's because
like,
they hang out with teenagers.
Yeah. And then you realise, no, they're just little, they're babies.
They are. Also, sorry, so this question is like, I'm basically doing this whole episode in this one thing, sorry, with all my questions. But basically, so, Catherine, there's George Lockwood, is that's his name?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is the werewolf in the flashback, and turns out he and Catherine have some kind of agreement, and she helps him get rid of the two vampires, and he smuggles her out of the church. I swear, when we find out that Catherine was not in the tomb last season, it was like some clerk at the church that smuggled her out.
So yes, but it could, yes, but it could be that was part of the plan, I think.
Got you. Okay.
But we see her leave. No, because she was already out and she met George on the road. So maybe that was part of the plan. We're jumping forward, but while we're talking about the two vampires, I want to address it, because it's revealed that Catherine knew that the two vampires were going to die and had planned it as part of her plan. And she even said, you know, make sure that the record says 27 vampires. Included, so there were 26 in the tomb and she would be 27. However, we know there are definitely at least 28 vampires in Mystic Falls, because Anna wasn't in the tomb and Catherine knew that she was a vampire. So that doesn't make any sense. Did she always plan for Anna not to be in the tomb? The math doesn't add up.
No, because Emily just like
it seemed
by chance that they got Pearl. Mm-hmm. And it seemed,
so if Catherine was assuming everyone was in the tomb, she should have said, let the record show there'd be 28 vampires, not 27.
Does she know, wait, were there definitely 27 in the tomb? Because maybe she counted Anna in the 27.
No, there were 26 then, in the tomb and Catherine makes 27.
Yeah, she wanted 27 to be counted so that they thought she was dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're very clear on that.
Mm. Yeah, I just didn't know if she'd counted Anna and maybe there were only 25 in the tomb.
No.
Like, do we ever find out how many were actually in the tomb?
Yeah, because they do an official count and they add, like, the records show the number of vampires and they add an extra one in for Catherine because they think, Mystic Falls kept records of how many were rounded up.
Gotcha.
And then they study it in school.
27 civilians, a night of great loss.
I'm just saying I pay more attention to the numbers than the writers.
Clearly. Or the previous storylines, of which Anna is a huge part.
Exactly. It was a major point. And we spent a lot of time thinking about the number of vampires in like our season finale. We talked about that a lot.
Yeah,
that is true. Thinking it through.
Who were they to know that there would be?
All right. We do come back to this.
Who were the writers to know that there would be three basic women in their 20s?
13 years later. Fair play.
Another question. Emily spelled the tomb right for Catherine.
No, Catherine for Damon.
Or did you, Emily spelled it for Damon?
Or and Anna. So it's really complicated. Emily spelling the tomb was in no part of Catherine's plan. Emily, yeah,
but
saw,
I thought she said that. Or maybe Damon thought that Catherine had asked her to do it?
No.
I can't quite remember. No.
Emily saw the vampires being rounded up, many of which she was friends with, slash she was their slave, still not sure on that. So she saw them being rounded up and wanted to save them. So she said to Anna, "Don't worry, I'm going to protect them." So Emily did the spell to protect them, which ruined Catherine's plan to fake her death. So it wasn't part of Catherine's plan at all.
Makes sense.
Complicated. Do we want to go back? Sorry, all my questions. We've basically done like the Catherine flashback a little bit, but we could go back to follow the theme of the episode.
Yeah.
Basically, it's from where you were saying, oh, like Catherine knew about vampires. She and Stefan are chatting and she keeps being like, oh, you definitely do love me. And I do think Stefan's pretty good here, where he's like, what is it about you that makes me still care? Mm-hmm. So like tries to play Catherine's game, or like play Catherine at her own game and make her think that that he's got feelings for her. And then he stabs her in the back.
Yeah.
With Vervain.
I love that moment. Yeah. Well done, Stefan.
So good. It kind of mirrors also when Elena stabs Stefan in the back, where she's like, it's okay, you know, when he was having his meltdown and they're having like a really tender moment, she brings him in and then stabs him in the back. So he's learnt. He's learnt.
I thought for one moment Stefan was having an original thought.
Oh no. Don't jump too far ahead.
Stefan could never do that.
Yeah, so then a lot of the episode is Stefan has Catherine kidnapped and they're talking through their relationship and the last days of her time in Mystic Falls, the last time around. And I we've said this before, I love their dynamic. Not like I want them to be a couple, but I think it's an interesting dynamic that's well written in this episode and well acted and adds layers to both characters.
Yeah. And it's done really well because they're just trying to work out like why Catherine's back, and the way they do this episode, it does make you really be like, is she back for Stefan? Like, is that all she wants? Has she convinced herself that she loves him and that he so loves her, and there's an opportunity for them to be together after all this time? Like, is that all she wants? And she just wants to break up him and Elena and then ride off into the sunset, or like, is there I think it's that bit with Catherine where it's like, is that the case?
And we get flashbacks, and I fucking love a flashback.
So many flashbacks. Mm-hmm. She looks great.
Yeah, she looks amazing.
Yeah, so in one of the first-ish flashbacks we're introduced to George Lockwood, who I think Damon introduces when he's been bravely defending the South.
I've got that, yeah.
I was like, okay, he wasn't that much of an objector. But also it's implied already that he's already triggered the curse and he's become a werewolf, right?
Yeah.
I assume so.
So it seems like he triggered the curse at war? That's kind of what I understood.
I mean, you'd probably kill... Yeah, that's what I would have guessed as well.
How many people do you think became vampires in war? That's a really good point.
Werewolves.
Did I say vampires?
You did. Sorry. Yeah, it must be because... All back in the day, were people more killing each other? I don't know.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Mm. And in that flashback, we get to see Henry again. And it's the same actor I checked. He's come back.
He's good. So cute. Oh, Henry.
I'm so sad he's dead.
I know. He was doing so well on Match.com.
He was.
Yeah, so he reveals that they're... a body's been like found and they think it's vampires, but it's not a like scene that a vampire would leave, which makes Catherine be like, there is a werewolf somewhere in Mystic Falls.
And then she confronts George in the next flashback
and
says she knows about, she's like, because I'm a vampire, and I can't remember the exact quote, I didn't write it down, and it's like, I know about your secret too. Gutsy.
I love her.
She's always fucking playing games. I love it. I was obsessed when she had the scene with George when they were walking, when they were like promenading, and she was literally dressed like a fucking black vampire, including a teeny tiny black umbrella.
It is so good.
She was in like a red dress with a really black choker. I was like, okay, she looks vampiric.
I love that. I loved all of her outfits in the flashback. I loved her outfit at the end where she meets George and she sees Stefan and Damon are like dead. Mm-hmm. And so we find out, so George helps her and keeps her secret because she has something he wants, which is .. the same thing that Mason wants. It just so happens to be.
Oh my God.
Crazy.
The moonstone. So stupid.
So stupid. But they've kept it in the Lockwood family for a long time, that moonstone, if it's been since Catherine gave it to George.
Yeah. I mean, we can say a lot about the Lockwoods. I think they protect heirlooms and they take some that aren't theirs.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very much so.
I also think what's interesting, the flashbacks, I know we touched on the scene with Catherine and Stefan where he kind of confesses his feelings for her before he knows as much about her. But I think what's interesting is it's always portrayed as Stefan was compelled by Catherine and it wasn't real. But Damon knew everything and it was real. And this doesn't like flip it on its head because, like, as Catherine said, it isn't still real because he doesn't know the truth about her. But it's also interesting to see, like, Damon's waiting in her room and he does know the truth about her. But that actually doesn't mean he's not compelled. She just compels him in a different way, like, go away, yeah. Leave. Mm-hmm. So it's still just as manipulated and fake as Stefan's romance, really, even if he knows some aspects.
I also thought that scene was really interesting in the sense of, like, Catherine just really didn't want him there. Whereas, like, the bits you get from all the other flashbacks or all the other ideas is that, like, she was so happy and loved them both, whereas she clearly was like, ugh, about Damon that one night. And I'm not saying she was the whole time, but just, like, that one night.
Because also that's the night of the Founders Ball where they signed the thing. And so Damon's already gone to Stefan, like, I was with her that night. And I'm like, well, not really, mate.
Yeah.
You didn't really get to one-up him there.
No, because she kicked her out straight away. Also, did you like the little joke that George says to Catherine where it's like, I'm sure my father will want to throw one of these every year. Ha ha ha.
He's to blame. He gave them the idea.
And they were like, amazing.
He did.
Founders Day.
Yeah. And then I think that's all the Stefan and... Oh, no. I think one of the best moments in the Stefan and Catherine drama is when she breaks out of her chains and is like, oh, I was just toying with you, basically. The vervain didn't affect her at all and she was literally just playing with Stefan,
basically.
I love
that. She's so fucking good.
When she's like, I just wanted to spend the day together, so I'll pretend that your torturing works.
Mm-hmm. I also think when it's revealed to Stefan that it was all part of Catherine's plan to not be in the tomb, or like she always knew it was happening, and he has the realization that he and Damon literally died for this woman who didn't care, just walked away. Like, I thought he was like, oh my god, like, how dare you do that? I think his anger at that is like really genuine, and it's a good thing for the show to like pick up on.
They, like, she was planning on leaving them any which way.
Yeah. But she was feeding them blood.
I guess she didn't actually want them to die. She wanted to keep them alive, but have them as her playthings forever, I think, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think if she wanted them as her vampires, she would have turned them, because she turned most of the tomb vampires.
And then sent them to their deaths.
So I don't think she's, like, precious about turning people into vampires. So, like, I probably don't think she wanted them there.
Yeah. She's such a fucking menace. I love her.
She really is.
Yeah, she's so great.
She's so great. Before we move on to the other storylines, I guess the other final bit is she gives, like, Stefan a threat or, like, an ultimatum. She basically tells him to break up with Elena. Otherwise, she will kill everyone that Elena loves whilst Elena watches. And then she'll kill Elena while Stefan watches, which is her big threat to be making.
Yeah, she doesn't mess around.
No.
So I guess the other plot line is Jenna's barbecue bash.
Yes. So then, intersected with all of this and the finding out about werewolves in the past is Damon somehow cons Jenna and Alaric into hosting Mason Lockwood.
It's so stupid. Also, I really hate what they do. They do this with Jenna a lot. Like, she's always in the dark about these things, but she's always used as leverage to get the storyline moving, and always used by Elena and Rick, who are meant to be like in a like Jenna's a parent figure for Elena, and Rick's in a relationship with Jenna, and they just like use her in this way.
I also think it's really pointless. Like, okay, Damon knows there's something supernatural about Mason. Stefan saw a werewolf in the last episode. Like, why why does he need to have a dinner party to prove that Mason's a werewolf?
I guess they're testing, is it real? But you're right, yeah, Stefan literally saw him last episode. This is just to rile him up. Like, no good can come of this.
Yeah, at this very moment, Stefan's getting information on the Lockwood family for Catherine. So it just, there's just no point to it, other than shenanigans.
Just shenanigans and just caught making an issue when there doesn't need to be one. From that side, it's just having another enemy. But I do enjoy the games that, like, Mason plays with them all. Like, when they basically, like, Damon thinks that they believe that it turns out it's a myth that, like, werewolves can't touch silver. So they give him this, like, silver pie cutter to carve the pie, and he turns it around and uses his hands. And he's like, oh, sorry, I'm such an animal.
And, like, so good. I do quite like their back and forth, like, oh, you're barking up the wrong tree, you're doing the wolf Pictionary. Like, it's ridiculous, but I do find it quite funny.
When he calls Damon a lady killer, like, I would have thought you would have been more of a lady killer in, like, all of this. I was just like,
what I love is Mason gets involved with the shenanigans. He's also doing it.
Yeah, so funny. He's like, okay.
It also had a moment where it was like Jenna, Damon, and Mason. And they're all meant to be the same age because they're all meant to be about 25. And I was like, this is ridiculous. This is crazy.
I will say Mason gives off the vibe of the 25-year-old where he's like, are we going for more drinks? What are we doing?
Oh, bless him. He's just here for a good time. Mm-hmm.
I don't blame him. Why not? Hey, if I turned into a werewolf like the night before, I probably would be like, yeah, let's go for a fair few drinks the next day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I liked Mason in this episode. I'm against him sometimes, but he's charmed me here.
He charmed me at the barbecue. Where he really didn't charm me was, like, so tight. He's just not speaking to Tyler about what happens. Tyler's got a lot of questions about this, and he's like, ignorance is bliss in this situation, which I'm like, ignorance has never once been bliss when you're looking at a supernatural world. There's no way where keeping someone in the dark has worked.
Mm-hmm. But also, when he says it, I'm like, ignorance is not bliss. Because if I didn't know what triggered it, I'd be like, oh my god, I tripped over, I made a cup of tea, oh my god, what's happening? As if it's like, you know, it's something quite extreme, like killing someone. Yes, okay, in the Vampire Diaries world, it's not that rare. But if I found out that that was what would trigger my curse, I wouldn't feel as nervous as not knowing.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, what if this bowl of cereal is the
Absolutely.
One?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Completely, especially when it is such a big thing.
He also, when he does that, gets to deliver the clunkiest line. What do you want me to say, man? Yes, I turn into a wolf. No, it's not going to happen to you.
And this is after, so Damon, once they leave the barbecue, Damon's like, ha-ha, I've got him. I'm going to stab him with a knife made of silver. What an idiot.
This is so stupid. This is what I mean when I was like, he was so infuriating, because like he and Damon have just had a chat where Mason's been like, I know you're a vampire, you know I'm a werewolf, I'm just here to look after my family, I want nothing from you, I'm not a threat for you, like, let's just all chill out. And Damon out of nowhere is like, do you know what I must do now? Stab this man.
Also, it's so stupid. First of all, Mason's being very mature for someone who but a few weeks ago was fighting 17-year-olds. Bit of change of character, but you know, fine. He's had a tough night.
That's true. I forgot about the armor.
And then Damon's like, oh, it didn't work because silver doesn't work. And I'm like, you're a fucking vampire.
Yeah, no, he is being really mature, and Damon's just like, nope.
Yeah.
I want some shenanigans. I want some drama. Damon must be really bored if this is like...
I think so. He doesn't have an outlet for his chaotic energy.
Damon could win the fight against Mason if he really wanted to. I don't know why we're pretending that just because...
He could have snapped his neck. Yeah. Like, he could do anything. A classic vamp
pulp.
Snap.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no.
I don't really get his obsession. Like, I know that when he's a vamp, when he's a werewolf, his bite can kill. But, like, that's once a month. So, like, just go out of town in the full moon, maybe, if Mason's still around. Like, I don't get the problem.
I don't get it. Because at this point, Mason hasn't done anything other than exist.
Yeah. And want to do shots. Yeah. If anything, Damon should love him. It's another alcoholic friend.
Yeah. Yeah, drinking buddy.
Yeah. Oh,
I will say also, what Mason did do actually was he did drink and drive, because he was doing lots of drinking and then we saw him driving and I was like, I don't approve of this.
No, and he
Mason.
Was like, yeah, he wanted to get last call at the grill. I will say though, the timelines make no sense, because he said he missed it, but then people were out the grill. So
what time do you think the grill shuts?
I didn't know. This is
10 p.m.
No, it can't be. They're always there, like, drinking coffee after a party.
It doesn't feel like a late night vibe.
Yeah. No, but they're always there after a party, aren't they?
They are school children.
Mm. Maybe 11.
I will say, did you notice at the very beginning of the episode when Damon finds Elena in the grill and he's like, oh, this is where you spend your time when you're not stabbing people in the back. I've clearly so angry about this. I've got it written down in capitals. Everyone is always at the grill. Why is this a surprise?
You're not wrong.
She also didn't stab him in the fucking back. Let's not go back to it. But Elena didn't do anything. Damon's really pissed me off these last few episodes.
Ditto.
No, I think that's so fair. He's so stupid in this one. It's really annoying.
Ironically, they used him killing Jeremy to make us annoyed with him. And, you know, in the first episode of this series, it didn't really work. And then they've tried to redeem him and made him way more annoying. So it worked in the end.
He's just like, see, like, this thing, like, he's causing shenanigans, but like really stupid ones. Whereas Catherine's causing shenanigans. And I'm like, what a babe. Like,
yes, queen,
so
go.
Cool.
Yeah, I also feel like in season one, it felt like Damon was the clever one doing sneaky things and, like, you know, getting his way with clever tactics. And Catherine arrives and makes Damon look like, as you said, like, makes Damon look like an idiot. You're now just like, stupid plan. And Catherine's on with the witty ideas.
Mm.
She's running laps around these Salvatore boys. Oh, they always think they've got an upper hand.
Yeah.
She's like...
And then the final one, which is also at Jenna's barbecue, but I feel like is... not very involved with it. Elena and Caroline.
Yeah. Elena phrased it as like, can Caroline come to the barbecue? But neither of them are there. They're not playing.
They're just sitting out the front.
No.
Yeah.
They make this barbecue sound like it's a really big event. And it's three people having drinks.
Yeah. Four people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, on the barbecue... Jenna does have what I have always wanted and I do think is missing from our hosting, is she has the big boards to play Pictionary with.
They're great.
Yes. We love a dinner party game, but we haven't ever done that one because we don't have some big enough thing.
The thing in the hallway, would that not work? Just sorry, guys, you were listening.
Yes. In our hallway, we have a series of whiteboards that we write little, I say our, Ellie doesn't live here anymore, but it was here when Ellie lived here, that we write little notes to each other on. But that would work, but then we'd have to bring everyone to the hallway.
Yeah, but we love the wall.
Gather round.
Yeah, we just sit on the floor.
I think it'd be funny. We did it. The reason we got it was for our Taylor Swift party, so everyone could write their favourite Taylor Swift lyrics.
Iconic event.
Yeah.
As always. Yeah, I think it would work. I think, but a fun board, that would be great.
Or a whiteboard that you can reuse. I'm not precious. We can use whiteboards.
I think a big whiteboard on a stand.
This is so not relevant to Vampire Diaries, but let me tell you the other dream that I have when I own a home. I've already told you guys this, is I want a giant whiteboard that's magnetic. And then I want all the Muppets cut out as magnets, so I'll just spend my days casting Muppets movies. And that's a real dream that I have, that one day I'll do.
If you were to have this right at Christmas, would it just always be the Muppets Christmas Carol for the whole of December?
Well, definitely what would have to happen is I'd have to get little festive hats made for all the cutout pictures of the Muppets.
Yes,
but I think you could do a different Christmas story every year.
Yeah.
Oh, right, I've got another question for you. Muppets Vampire Diaries.
Okay. Here's the thing about the Muppets, and this is what people get wrong about Muppets casting. I am something of an expert. Is there's two things. First of all, and quite unfortunately, you can't pick a property with too many female characters, which I hate, because there's only one or two Muppet women, and often it's just Miss Piggy in a different wig. So that does sometimes limit things. Secondly, the world is not ready for a human Muppet romance. So you have to make sure all your romantic things are either all human or all Muppet. Muppet, you're limited by the fact there's, look, let's make gay Muppets, all for that. But in most stories, you're limited by them only being one female character. And ideally, you only want one human. So you don't really want like a trio of human characters in a love triangle. So unfortunately, I don't think Vampire Diaries works, I am afraid.
That's really sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although it could work for the main triangle because Elena and Catherine look alike. So Miss Piggy and a wig is perfect.
The problem is they all date each other. As our relationship chart shows, they all have to be...
You'd need a lot more Muppets.
Yeah.
That is really upsetting.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I hope the listeners enjoyed our Muppet journey. I will say Catherine has thought about most films. So if you want questions
send me some and I'll cast them for you.
Yeah. Why have you done Twilight? Well, we're on vampires.
Haven't done Twilight. I've been sent by several people a reel of someone doing Twilight and I can't remember how they did it. They must have had, who would the human character be? Charlie Swan would be a good human character.
Yeah.
Another slight problem is you need Kermit and Miss Piggy to be the main. So it sometimes Kermit doesn't, even though I think Kermit the Frog is one of the most versatile working actors, is he doesn't always work as the male lead. Like, is Kermit right for Edward? Maybe.
I think Kermit would be a good Emmett or Carlisle.
Yeah, he'd be a great Carlisle, actually. He'd be a great Carlisle. Yeah. It's hard.
Just like he's such a good Bob Cratchit.
He's a great Bob Cratchit. Let's not go into it. But every year I watch a Muppets Christmas Carol and I cry. And then
it's
my brother
a great movie.
My brother got very annoyed at me and I went, Kermit's just such a good actor.
I introduced my boyfriend's family to it last Christmas and I think they were all so confused why I was like, please, 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 can we watch the Muppets Christmas Carol? Ugh. Then they did get really into it. They were like, what's happening to Tiny Tim?
Exactly.
It was very entertaining.
Anyway, can talk about Vampire Diaries. I don't know how we got onto this.
I'm having a great time.
We were talking about Elena and Caroline.
Yes. Oh yeah, Caroline has the munchies.
She does. The whole premise of this little bit, actually, I will stop starting every sentence with right, but anyway, the whole premise of this bit is Elena doesn't know what's going on with Stefan, so she's really worried, and Caroline's trying to break them up because of Catherine's told her to. But why didn't Stefan fill Elena in on his plan?
I thought this because Elena's always quite irritating when she's left out of a plan. And I don't mean irritating as in she's worried about her boyfriend. Like, I think that's a very, like, considering the circumstances they're in, she has absolute right to, like, freak out. Mm-hmm. But she does just, like, go to extremes when she doesn't know what's going on. And Caroline's just, we know why.
Yes.
But she's so rude about their relationship and doing everything she can to, like...
I also, though, I don't think Elena's being particularly, you haven't heard Elena ask Caroline about Matt once, even before. It's only about her and Stefan. And then also when they break down and Caroline's like very clearly desperate, like, don't leave me. And like, I know she's been not kind to Elena this episode, but she has just turned into a vampire and she's very clearly like desperate. I get Elena wants to check on Stefan and maybe she should, but she might be like, I'll come and check on you later or something. Like, poor Caroline's obviously in a state about something and Elena doesn't seem to care what. It's just annoyed that it's insulting her, and like, it is she's been quite, you know, telling some hard and far too blunt and unkind truths about Stefan and Elena's relationship, so I get that Elena would be annoyed, but I also just feel like she's not really being caring for her friend who's literally just had a whole life turned on its head.
We should give Caroline a little... She is being very rude, but we should give her a little bit of grace here, surely.
Also, like, I know Elena doesn't... Yeah, like, Elena doesn't know that Caroline's, like, being... Well, at the time, we think she doesn't know that Caroline's being manipulated by Catherine or threatened by Catherine. But yeah, like, to never once be like, by the way, how are you finding this whole newborn vampire thing? Like, how are you doing after you attacked your boyfriend and then forced him to dump you? All of those things. And it's just so obvious, like, she's so disregards. She's like, what is wrong with you? Why don't you want to be left alone? And, like, doesn't think about it once. I was like, oh, you're not being the best here, even though I know she had just had a car journey when she was insulted left, right, and centre. But
please, 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 can we discuss this car journey? Because in it we get some absolutely top-tier product placement. So there's, like, a song playing on the car. And to find out what the song is, Caroline asks the car and it tells her.
That, yeah. Also, so out of context, like, there was no reason for them to add that conversation in the middle of an argument.
No.
And then it tells her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mad.
Do you know what else they could have just done, though, is waited till the song stopped, and I'm sure the radio station would have been like, that was Antihero by Taylor Swift. Like,
yeah.
Great choice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. But yeah, and then so Elena storms off. The car breaks down. They have that big argument.
Well, this is the thing. It's not very good project placement because the car breaks down. And I know it's because Caroline tampers with it. But surely if you were, your product was in it, you'd paid a lot of money for your product to be in the TV. You'd want it to be working the whole time. And I couldn't even tell you anything about the make of the car. So it didn't work very well.
Normally it's like, so I binged it.
Yeah.
Yeah, normally they say it. There's so many good ones in this show. I cannot wait for my favorite one.
I think my favorite
one.
One's coming up this season and I'm so excited.
I can't remember. I need to have a thing.
I don't know if we've got the same favorite one.
Give me a clue for what your favorite one is.
It involves Bonnie and Jeremy.
Oh, yeah, that is this season. I think mine's next season. And
can you give me a clue for what yours is?
It involves a stylus pen.
Okay, tell me when we finish this.
Okay, I'll let you know. Okay, cool. Oh, so good.
So good. But yeah, so Elena arrives at the Salvatore house and it's just after Catherine had been like, the Vervain did nothing. Nothing's happened. And she stabs Stefan so he's injured and she goes to introduce herself to Elena.
Yeah, so big moment. This is the first scene between Elena and Catherine. They dared to do this.
They did.
But I don't think it's that noticeable, like nothing noteworthy. They just say hi, right?
Yeah. And Stefan's like, are you okay? And Lena's like, no. And I'm sure it must be like freaky to see Catherine, but she didn't really do much. She just like walked around her a little bit.
There's worse stuff that's happened, I feel.
Yeah.
And then they go to the grill and Elena and Caroline seemingly make up. And then Elena and Stefan sit down and have a big fight and break up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stefan's really worried about Catherine's threat and Elena thinks Stefan's being stupid and they break up and Caroline and Damon are listening very, very intently.
Very obviously.
To this big argument.
They're listening so obviously that Elena and Stefan comment on it. Like they're not being subtle at all.
No, but turns out that was the plan. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of acting for Stefan in this episode.
Yeah. Maybe he took some classes.
I guess when you're around for that amount of time.
Yeah.
That maybe you should. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it turns out it was all fake. And they knew, they had a theory, a suspicion that Caroline had been influenced or like was sharing some things with Catherine. Mm-hmm. And so they've done a big dramatic fake breakup to convince Catherine that is all fine.
Yeah. I like that Catherine has so many plans and they're like, oh, we've got one over of like one of her like 20 levels of plans.
Yeah.
But well
done
then.
For them, girl.
But it's also like, we can't tell anyone because Elena's like, should we tell Damon it's not true? But it's also just the point like they can't tell anyone because they don't know who else Catherine's got to. Mm-hmm. This is also why like everyone should be on Vervain because you have no idea who Catherine is compelling.
Yeah.
Yes. But she's not compelling Carol. She's just scared her.
No, exactly. But sorry, I meant for like any of the other
humans. For anything else. Oh yeah, Matt's not on Vervain. She could be using Matt.
Yeah, exactly.
Poor
Especially
sweet
when
Matt.
She looks like poor sweet baby blue eyed Matt. Because like, when she looks like Elena, they're just going to be like, hey, Elena, how are you? It's not like it's a random stranger coming up to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't care for their friends.
They don't.
Did you guys pick up on why I felt specifically attacked by the final scene?
Oh, I'm intrigued.
No.
Okay, so Stefan is, it's when he's talking to Elena about Catherine, like the literal final scene, and Stefan says the line, Catherine is incapable of love. Which, for the listeners, is something that a friend once said to me as a joke, and it was one of the worst moments of my life.
Did you send them that clip?
I sent Till the clip, and she didn't believe that.
That's so good.
The most savage wow. thing that was ever said to me was put on my favourite show.
About your favourite character.
I know. Yeah. Not all Catherines are incapable of love. I'm very loving.
You are.
You are.
I wonder if your introductions about Alice maybe
say. Yeah, no. But I love Alice. I just think she's ridiculous. Both can be true.
Both can and are can. True.
Sorry, ouch. Alice. No. I'll do a Tyler. You know it ouch.
But yeah, so we have that scene with where Stefan's saying she's evil, she's incapable of love, and we see that actually she went back to Stefan and said, one day, or whatever it is, we'll be back. And we're meant to be like, oh my God, she loves him really.
Yeah, and it's like her in the present day touching her lips, like after.
I did like the scene. I'm making fun of it, but it was a good scene.
Yeah. It was such a silly scene. I couldn't work out what she was touching her lips for. Was it just like the memory of a kiss?
Yes, I think so. Because they're like spoon feeding us.
They love to.
Yeah, like they can't just have her looking pensively. Like she's got to also touch her lips. Also in this scene, it was a Sarah Bareilles song, Breathe Again, which I thought was significant because in my mind, Gravity by Sarah Bareilles is Stefan and Elena's first kiss. So I do think it's interesting that they've used another Sarah Bareilles song for like a romantic moment between Stefan and Catherine.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they want me to think about that, but I'm thinking.
Sometimes I do think we think too much about the show.
I know. I do think, no. It. Yeah, but when I watched that interview with Kevin Williamson and Julie Plec, they mentioned Gravity as like being a big moment in Stefan and Elena's relationship. So they know that song.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I do know they're like aware. Sure.
Well, considering how much they like placed the songs mm-hmm. to like literally spoon feed what was happening.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've thought about it.
Mm-hmm. Would anyone like to share some more, any last thoughts on the episode? Are you still a hater, Al, now we've talked about it? Or have we made you like any of it more?
You've made me like it more. I think it's more that I found some of the plot line. I think I found the barbecue plot line irritating. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it mainly was. Because I do love the flashbacks. I think the Catherine Stefan stuff's brilliant. I do actually even like the Caroline Elena. Like, I think it's interesting. I just think the barbecue, like, there's some funny moments, but the plot line of it is nonsensical.
Damon is really annoying this episode. Like, really, really fucking annoying. Yeah. Anyway, time to move on to
Stats O'Clock.
Stats time. So we're keeping track of all the relationships, how many times each character kills, and all the resurrections. So what are we adding?
Nothing.
Okay. This is up for debate, but I thought, do we add one for Mason? Because you said you had to kill someone to trigger the curse, and he's triggered the curse.
So I thought this. Can I say an offline bit?
Yeah. Listeners, we've decided we need more information.
Not an official one, because also we needed more information. But I think, I don't know if Henry, George Lockwood and Catherine have a thing, because I feel like he ends up falling in love with her. But
I don't think we can. So nothing this episode then.
Yeah, I think it seems like it's a transactional agreement, not like he loves her, like he wants the moonstone, so he's going to help her out type thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and no stats in very little trivia, because I had a few things I already talked about, such as Evan Gamble returned as Henry. But as this is a big Catherine episode and a big talking about doppelgangers, this Vampire Diaries is not the first time Niamh and Dover have played a doppelganger. In the Sci-Fi Channel Canadian movie, which she filmed before Vampire Diaries, called Never Cry Werewolf, she played a teenager who is hunted by a 100-year-old werewolf because she looks exactly like his long-lost love.
Ooh.
Isn't that weird?
That's so really weird.
Yeah. So clearly she knew she could play doppelgangers. So Nina obviously does a lot of double acting this whole series. So her process for season 2 is she would have two scripts, and she would have one script for Catherine and she would have one script for Elena, and she would break down how each character reacts and their motivations separately to not cross over at all. So she would give like really detailed notes, and then when they do scenes with each other, she would give her notes to the person they hired to act against her, who I wanted to get her full name, but I just know her first name was Brittany, so that Brittany could, apparently she was a great partner and could do some of the acting, would act it how Nina would, so she would be essentially playing off her own performance.
Interesting.
Hair and makeup took about an hour, took about an hour to an hour, 45 minutes to switch over. So the days where she was playing both Catherine and Elena, even if they don't have scenes together, she was still probably playing, like, there'd be multiple scenes a day. A big, very hard for Nina, because she tried to really, like, differentiate between the two and have a really, like, thorough process for season two.
Wow.
Gosh, yeah, that is a lot.
I mean, she does well with it.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a point in the show where clearly they didn't think how much time it would take to film scenes, particularly with the other one. So I think from like a certain point, they try and limit the number of scenes that both Catherine and Elena is in, because it's so much work for her.
That's fair. That's what I always thought about the film Parent Trap. Mm. Like how much, like because Lindsay Lohan is like the Annie and Hallie are always in it.
Yeah.
Together. And I'm like, God, that must have been a lot of work for her.
Well, especially yeah. with that movie, I don't know, because... But I imagine that movie took much longer than similar movies to film, because they will have been, I don't want to say limited by child labor laws, because they're good limits, but your own children are only allowed to film a certain amount of hours in a day. They had that on top of Lindsay Lohan having to do everything twice.
All the scenes.
So I imagine that film time was quite long.
That is a great film. I might watch that soon.
Yeah.
That's a good film.
Go for it.
Definitely.
Thank you.
You have our full support.
Anyway, that's it for this week. If you want to contact us in the meantime, please tell me how.
You can tweet us. Sorry, of course. You can tweet us at Miss Mystic Pod.
Yes. I've not called attention to your yawning this whole episode, so you've done this to yourself.
Oh, poor Alice. It's hard having two jobs. You can also, I'm going to switch it up, you can also rate us 5 stars and no less.
Yes.
On Spotify or the podcast app of your choice.
Yes, you can.
Oh, Ellie.
Yes.
I know.
We're changing everything. Or you can go on Instagram on Missing Mystic Falls Pod. Send us a cheeky little DM. If you've got any thoughts on season two, you can send them to us and we might read them out at the relevant episode. So we'd like to hear what you guys think about this season as we go along.
And what Muppet casting?
Oh, yeah. Send me Muppet castings. Yeah, go for it. it's a hobby I have, so I'll happily do that. New episodes will be up every single Wednesday, and we'll be back next week. Bye
bye.
See ya.